So you went back to the 70s, I will too. One of my favorite television shows when I was in high school was Monty Python's Flying Circus. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's a series of sketches, hilarious, funny, silly sketches. It's a British comedy from British television. And one of the transitions, you could probably find it on YouTube. You can find some of these things. Some of them are really funny. Some of them may not be appropriate for children, but one of the challenges, or one of the transitions from one sketch to the next was the phrase, "And now for something completely different." I feel like that's a good transition into today's sermon. It's going to be completely different than what I've been used to preaching here the past few times over these past few months. I didn't type out a 10-page sermon like I normally do. I don't have any slides for us this morning. We're not going to stand and read a scripture right now or exposit a particular text and go verse by verse this morning. We will get back to that next week when we go back to the Gospel of Matthew, by the way. We're starting up our Gospel of Matthew study again next Sunday, and our goal is to get to Easter and preach on the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday, April 5th, I believe, this year. So we're going to get back to that kind of preaching, but today, instead, I wanted to just be a little more off the cuff. I knew usually the Sunday after Christmas, there was a few less people, so it'd be a little bit more informal, I wanted to wrap up our series of Christian virtues with the theme of peace and joy. And when I say off the cuff, I don't mean just I'm making something up as I go. I do have about 5 pages of notes, but I'm just not going to read some major treatise on peace and joy. But I have been thinking about, preparing, praying about this message for probably about a month when I knew we were sketching out or, you know, penciling in this theme for this Sunday. And I've been considering this question. How should we as a church enter into the new year? How should we as Village Church approach 2026? It's the end of 2025. And at the end of the year, we often reflect on the past year or so. We think about the future. And as Chris alluded, we, not me, at this point, but you all for sure, have just completed a challenging yet rewarding 2-year journey without a full-time staff elder. It has put many of the congregation in the crucible, but God has been faithful, my goodness. People have stepped up throughout these past few years and served in amazing ways. There is, and this is coming from an outsider who is now part of you, part of the church, there is a spirit of unity and vision here that is quite frankly unique in that I've seen from other churches, and it's so refreshing. And now we're turning the page. We are ready to head into a new chapter of our life at Village Church. A new chapter means new experiences, new adventures, and you know, we are coming up on our 5-year anniversary this March. We opened the doors to this very building on March 21st, 2021, here in the Norwood community. And so as you look around, those of you who were part of the very beginning of that know that we are a very different church now than we were when we launched 5 years ago. So what attitude, what outlook will we have as we turn the page? What will mark us or identify us as Village people? I have been wanting to say that phrase publicly for 6 months. Did you ever know we're Village people? That's probably old hat for you, but I've been thinking about that phrase for a long time. How should we enter 2026? So here's my thought. I'm not saying this is the only answer, but for this time and this place, at the start of a new chapter, I'm wondering if God might be calling us to to enter the new year as a people marked by righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says, "The kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Doesn't that sound incredible? I mean, it's like it's too good to be true. But imagine a church full of redeemed and righteous people, led by the Holy Spirit, full of peace and joy, overflowing with faith and hope and love, three of Paul's favorite words. Well, we don't have to imagine it. This is the reality that Christ brings to all of his people. As Billy read earlier from Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Listen to the other key virtues that Paul has mentions in the rest of this paragraph. He writes, "We have also obtained access through him by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, because we know that the affliction produces endurance." I did not check with Chris when we coordinated scriptures this morning. It's the Holy Spirit who's working together. We're talking about endurance, which produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. That hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That sounds like righteousness, peace, and joy to me. This is the reality of what it means to be the church. And it can be a daily reality. Yes, sin gets in the way. Often. Yes, there are difficulties and challenges. Often. But righteousness, peace, and joy is the pattern of life that God wants for us. And that is what it is like to live in the kingdom of God. So let's briefly unpack what this might mean for Village Church in the coming year. First, righteousness. What does it mean to be righteous? Because of Christ's work on the cross, he made us right with God. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because he has made us right with God." So righteousness is, by and large, a relational term. It means that we are in a right relationship with God through Jesus, because he took our sin, paid for it, changed our lives, and now we are standing with Jesus in front of the Lord, the Heavenly Father. But, of course, it's also descriptive of our new status as holy people. So it's not only a relational term, it also describes the character we take on. We take on the character of Christ, who is righteous. It's similar to the word justified. We have been justified. If you noticed, I don't know if the Christian Standard Bible has two different versions, but the one up here, as Billy read, he said the righteousness of God, and on the screen it said the justification or justified by God. It's very similar concept. Think of this. It's too far for you to read it in the back, but when you write a manuscript, on the left side, of course, there's the margin, it's all even. But when you're especially on a typewriter, when you're typing along, one line goes this far, and then you go to the next line, the next one will be a little short, and the next one will be a little long, and on the right side, it's all different. The words are all different. But, did you know, with a little couple of buttons on your word processor, you can justify the margins. You can justify the margins, meaning that all that's squiggly on the one side becomes lined up and is justified. This is what it means to be brought into line with God through Jesus Christ. We have been justified. We've been lined up. We've been made straight. Our crookedness, our sin, our bent towards selfishness and our own agenda is straightened out and lined up with who Jesus is. He's made us righteous. And we are now in a right relationship with God. In other words, Because Jesus now is righteous and we are lined up with righteous, we are to become righteous in Christ. We are to become holy as God is holy. We are to become like Christ. That's our purpose in life. A few years ago, a very popular book hit the Christian bookshelves called The Purpose-Driven Life. I remember reading it at the time, and I thought it was, you know, more or less helpful, but I think it had to do with, you know, finding your purpose in life and just living in God's grace and glory, and that's wonderful. But the real issue, the real purpose in life is to become like Jesus. That's our purpose. A couple of years ago, I preached a sermon on Jesus being the target on the wall. And when you're playing darts, you know, the goal is to hit the bullseye, right? I mean, that's why you've got the dart in your hand. The target on the wall, hit the bull. Jesus is the target on the wall. And we are to be little Jesuses. Little Christian, that's what Christian means, little Christs. Target on the wall, little Jesuses. That's our purpose in life. And this move toward righteousness, this context of righteousness, puts peace and joy into context as well. Because Romans 8:1 again, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We are righteous. We're made righteous. Grace abounds. One of my favorite verses is 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's freedom. In Jesus, we have freedom. Peace, joy, anything goes, right? No. This is what Paul said in the book of Romans, because some people misunderstood Paul when he was talking about grace. Oh, grace, everything's so great. Well, then we can keep sinning because God will forgive us. It's grace, grace, grace. No. Grace means that we then respond to God with our lives and worship him with our whole life and become like him as he is holy. Righteousness puts a boundary on our freedom to keep us from heading into sin. So, what might this look like at Village in the year 2026? How do we as a church maintain righteousness and fully, you know, grasp it and go for it and live it? Well, there's a number of ways, but from the leadership standpoint, and because I'm new, I want to assure you there's a couple of commitments. We are committed to preach God's word through books of the Bible in the coming years. This is our pattern. We're not changing that. Yes, we did a short thematic break during Christmas, 2 or 3, 4 sermons on a theme, but we will continue to preach God's word verse by verse through books of the Bible, and we will continue the team teaching approach. We are committed to aligning ourselves with God's righteousness, and the only way to do that is to immerse ourselves in God's word, verse by verse, week by week, through books of the Bible. And attendant with that is our commitment to be representatives of both the word, give the word and deed together in our neighborhood. Many churches, they are great on preaching the word. I mean, the truth is out there, but they don't have much care for the community that they're in. Maybe individuals have a lot of care, but the church itself, there's not much outreach to assist the people in the surrounding neighborhood. Other churches, on the other hand, are very good with care, compassionate care. They're out there serving meals, etc., having food drives, clothing drives, etc., but they might be weak on the gospel. They might have a Sunday morning where it's just a little bit of a pep talk. I'm saying that as those are extremes, of course. We are committed at Village Church to keep word and deed, truth and love together as we serve the Norwood community in the name of Jesus. How else might righteousness look like? What might it look like here at Village in the next year or so? We are committed still to covenant together with one another in the membership of Village Church to encourage one another, to hold each other to the high standard of Jesus, to love each other and forgive each other. And the words that we sometimes hear about that we use are the words accountability and discipline. Don't plug your ears yet. Let me explain that. because so many people have had bad experiences with discipline and accountability when it comes to church. They've experienced what we call church hurt. And many times that's because there has been a misunderstanding of what discipline and accountability really mean. I don't need to give examples. You can imagine. We don't want to go that direction. We want to be loving, caring, but we also are committed to covenanting together to be the church that God has called us to be. That's why when you become a member, we talk through what it means to be a member of the church. So that if there are issues in your life, you've given us already permission. You've given one another already permission to enter into each other's lives and to lift each other up. And then finally, again, this is just the fourth bullet point. There are many ways that we can pursue righteousness as a church. We are committed to continue our vision to make, grow, and send disciples of Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk more about that in a moment. So righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Second then, how might we look, what might mark the people of Village Church in 2026? Peace. We want to pursue peace. And the word here is shalom, really, in Hebrew. It's broader than peace, what we think of. It's not, peace is not just the cessation of conflict. It's the presence of shalom and wholeness and healthy, loving, and living. It doesn't mean a lack of noise or activity either. We have a lot of children, and it's wonderful to have noise in the sanctuary. This Christmas Eve, this past Wednesday, we didn't have a nursery or child care or a session for the children. We wanted everyone in the sanctuary. And there was, you know, maybe a baby or two that were crying, and that was okay. And I actually didn't notice. I was preaching the Lord, you know, preaching, and I felt good about. And Julie said, "Hey, you didn't let your face, like sometimes if I get distracted or if I get upset, my face shows it, right? You know, it's like I have an intense face sometimes." And she said, "Your face was really relaxed when children were crying." I said, "Oh, well, praise God." And I try to work on that, because if you're happy and you know it, let your face show it, right? So. That's peace. It doesn't mean lack of noise or activity. It means, well, putting up with one another in love. Among other things, peace means being at peace with each other and letting each other be who they are. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, Paul states, "I urge you to walk worthy of the calling you've received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another." There's the word. Bearing with one another means tolerating, putting up with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So bearing with one another, putting up with each other, tolerating one another. We all have peccadillos. We all have little personality quirks. In other words, give one another some slack. Understand their heart. They may not do something exactly the way you want them to do it. You may be offended at something they said or did, and yet really, was it something that should be offended, or is it just a chance to put up with one another in love? Now, if there's sin involved, of course, we're going to work biblically. We're going to work through the issue biblically. But we have peace with God. And since we have peace with God, we are called to a ministry then of reconciliation, not with just one another in the church, but of course with the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and through 21 says this: "If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed this message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are the ambassadors of Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There it is again. We become the righteousness of God. Because now we have been given this ministry of reconciliation and peace with one another and with the world. It's all wrapped up in being like Jesus. Target on the wall, little Jesus's. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." He simply wants us to do what he has done, because by his blood, he brought us peace. And therefore, we are to bring, in the name of Jesus, under the blood of Jesus, peace to others. A great lyric from the hymn, "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus" by Robert Lowry, is written in 1876, said, "This is my hope, this is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus." St. Francis of Assisi, the Italian friar who lived about the year 1200, wrote this famous prayer, you might know it, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy." So my prayer for us at Village is that we become more and more a people of peace. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So third, joy. How will we at Village Church demonstrate joy in 2026? Well, as mentioned in this prayer by St. Francis, joy is often most compelling when demonstrated in the midst of sadness, struggle, and sorrow. Like I said, I did not coordinate this with Chris and his prayer for us today, but this section touches on that topic. Joy truly shines when all around is despair and struggle. In 1719, Isaac Watts wrote a hymn, I think you might know it, "No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. Joy to the world, the Lord has come." Joy is not dependent on circumstances. Joy is a disposition. It's a way of living that sees the world through a divine lens where the focus is on God, who is in control of all things. Remember Paul and Silas in the book of Acts, chapter 16. They were in Philippi, and they were preaching the gospel, and they healed a demon-possessed slave girl who, under the influence of this evil spirit, predicted the future. This made the slave girl's owners very mad because she was their source of income. And so they had Paul and Silas arrested. They were severely flogged and thrown in jail. Now, they could have despaired, but instead they prayed, sang hymns to God. Friends, that's joy. For the Christian, it often comes in the midst of suffering because joy keeps its eyes on the prize. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. "Since we have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Friends, that is simply mind-boggling. Jesus endured the suffering and shame of the cross because of the joy that lay before him. My prayer for us at Village is that despite the challenges and the loss that some of us have gone through this past year with the death of a friend or a loved one, and this is our first Christmas alone without that person, despite the challenges and the fear and the sense of loss, that we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and remain joyful. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says. So, not only will we exhibit joy during struggle, but another aspect to joy comes when the lost are found. In Luke chapter 15, there are three rapid stories of things that were lost, and when they were found, resulted in incredible joy. And there was the coin, the sheep, and the lost son as well. Well, when the lost is found, when something new happens, when a person accepts the Lord and commits his life or her life to follow Jesus and is baptized, it is time to rejoice. Here at Village, we're going to start the year off in a joyful celebration. Again, if the tank cooperates. Billy, is the tank? You don't know? I thought you had it. Aaron bought it. Oh, I don't know. We're going to start the year off with baptizing two young men. I'm going to ask Landon and Mason to come forward at this point, along with their parents, if you will. And we want to share and pray over them and express joy at the fact that they are entering into the family of God and into the Village Church family as well. I won't make you say anything, but I'll just pray for you. Pray with me, church. God, thank you for the joy of new life in Christ. As represented here by Landon and Mason, thank you for their love for you, that they both desire to follow you in baptism, and that next week we can celebrate as a church this incredible gift that you have given them, new life in Christ, and their response to give back to you their desire, their gifts, their talents, their lives. Pray for their parents. Pray for us as a church as we welcome them, to encourage them and to be the church that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, sorry. I'm not done yet.
Oh, go ahead.
All right. You're going to sit back there and watch.
Sure.
I've got 20 more minutes probably. Who knows? I don't know. It's not a 10-page sermon, but my notes are, I guess they just expand. You know, like when rice, you know, put water in it, just sort of starts expanding. So that's what happened here. So that's exciting news. Next Sunday, our baptism. But also in the new year, we're making space here at Village Church for another opportunity to rejoice. We are going to be working with and partnering with a Swahili-speaking congregation. And Pastor Kicheli was going to be here today. I don't see him, but we want to pray for them. I'll be meeting with Pastor Kicheli Lopongo, who is the pastor of about 40 or 50 people in from the Congo and Tanzania, I believe, who speaks Swahili. And they will be utilizing our facility here Sunday afternoons, I think, starting next week. We still work out some details, but be praying about that. Again, it's an opportunity to offer up prayers to God and rejoice at the ministry that this new church will have in this facility. So, what might joy look like for the year 2026 for Village Church? It may not rise to the level of Monty Python's tag, something completely different, but could there be more baptisms in the weeks and months ahead? Could there be more churches that we partner with for the gospel, for kingdom purposes? Could there be more opportunities to serve Norwood, our neighbors, and sow seeds of love and pardon and faith and hope and light and joy? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Faith, hope, and love. As we turn the page and start a new chapter here at Village, can these Christmas virtues that we've been talking about for the past 3 weeks or so become more and more Village virtues? So as I wrap up this completely different sermon this morning, let's take a moment and dream together a bit, shall we? Let's just dream out loud. The question I opened with this morning was, how should we as a church enter into the new year? And I've suggested that we should incorporate key Christian virtues more deeply into our lives, virtues like faith, hope, and love, but especially peace and joy and righteousness. But what does that look like? Again, I don't have the answers. When I first talked to the elders and came on staff here, they asked one question in the survey is, what is your leadership style? I said, I don't think I have a leadership style. I don't think I'm a leader. My leadership style is to create suggestions and ideas and what about this? Why don't we do this? And some of these might sound, because, you know, I've had over 30 years of ministry, they might sound like, oh, this is a full-blown plan. He wants to do this. Most of them are just brainstorming, just ideas. There's sort of three levels with me. There's the brainstorm. Hey, what do you think about this? I did this with Kelsey, and she has some really great questions in the chat in that Julie and I and Alex and Kelsey are in. She said, so what does that look like? I said, I don't know. I'm just making up. I'm making it up as I go. Let's thank you for those questions, because that helps me understand. So one level of my leadership style is toss out ideas. See what sticks. See what generates ideas, more ideas. See what's already been percolating in your life and in the life of the elders. And sometimes it matches up and says, whoo, I think God is on, you know, God is doing something here. Other level would be ideas that I've thought about, prayed about. I think they're good, but don't necessarily have to do. It's not, I don't have an agenda per se. It's just, these are some things that I think we should consider as a church, like making sure the television doesn't change during my sermon. I'm just teasing. Thanks. You know, but going with the flow, just understanding, these are things that we should probably consider. And then there's the third level, which are very few and far between, like convictions, like, you know, we need to keep doing this. I mean, I think some of the things we talked about already, keep preaching from the Word, verse by verse, through the Bible. But right now, level one, surface level. I'm just going to toss out some ideas and see what sticks. I don't have the answers here. These ideas, suggestions, pointers, possibilities, all could be used by God to spark even more ideas for ministry. Remember, our vision as a church is to make, grow, and send disciples of Jesus Christ in the world. Could this be in the form of sending out another missionary family in the next 1 or 2 years from this church? As you know, we've sent out our friends to Central Asia, and we have really rallied around them. But is God calling you, someone here, to be a missionary in an overseas or situation or a different culture? Coming up in January, we have a class called Perspectives, and it is an introduction to missions. It will help really flesh that idea out. So if you are thinking, man, I don't know if it's this year, but I really sense God's call to do something beyond and maybe be a missionary in the formal sense, then I would definitely encourage you to talk to Chris or Heather about what Perspectives class is all about. How about this one? Let me toss this one out here and see if this one gets you excited, jumping out of your seats. Maybe God wants us to launch a new congregation from Village, to plant a new church within the next 3, 4, 5 years. I mean, what would that look like? What would that mean? One thing it would mean we'd need to grow to about 250, 300 people. We'd have to pack out the sanctuary and have a second service, because I think maybe 180 can fit in the sanctuary. I think I counted it up. If you squeeze tight, you can get 200 in here maybe. But two services of 250 people before we have the sort of the momentum to launch a new church. Is God calling us to duplicate ourselves, to launch a new congregation in another neighborhood in Knoxville? Be praying about that. Or as individuals and families, what about our vision for outreach? We're not just a sending church. Okay, let the church send missionaries and let the church start a new church. But we all are called to be sent ones. And so will we become more aware of the fact that God has a purpose for us in the sending process? God is sending each of us into our circles of influence, into our neighborhoods, our homeschool groups, our workplaces, our social groups. So have you considered, again, here's some ideas. Have you considered starting a Bible study with some friends in those different circles at work or with homeschool moms or with a social group that you're a part of? Maybe a monthly business lunch you could start and have a Christian speaker come in every month to share something biblical and a gospel message. Maybe you could start an after-school or backyard VBS program, not just the summer, but later in the spring when it warms up. Or maybe you could start a book club or a movie night discussion and talk about the Christian themes in that book or in that movie. Or maybe you could develop a weekend sports camp or a dance camp or martial arts camp or whatever kind of activity you're interested in where you train up young people, teach them principles from the scripture, and share the gospel. Maybe you could host an international student or start a college-age ministry. I was able to, was blessed to be a part of the Centro Hispano group that meets in our building once a week. They had an end-of-year program for the parents of the children that are involved in this after-school ministry. We host it here as a building, but we don't have any real connection to them, like any individuals in our church who are part of it. But they invited me to stay for the luncheon that they had for the kids and their parents. Well, I got to sit at the table of a man and his wife and their two children. His name is Jesus Rodriguez, and we struck up a friendship. His English is about as bad as my Spanish, and so we were using Google Translate. I downloaded another app real quick to try to be a little more conversational. 2 weeks later, after that, we went out to lunch together, and we were talking. I asked him if he would like to start a Bible study, and he said yes. And so I'm sort of scared about that. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't speak Spanish, but through Google Translate or whatever, we're gonna sit down in the new year and we're gonna start with one-on-one. Because what if God is using Jesus Rodriguez and his family to reach the 40% student population that comes from Spanish-speaking homes right here in the Norwood area? What if this is the beginning? I don't know if it is. It may just be one-time Bible study, and he'll say, thanks. But maybe it could blossom into something else. I don't know. Let's pursue God's leading and see where it goes. The sky's the limit. What kind of ministry is God laying on your heart? As a church family, we will help equip you for it. With righteousness, peace, and joy, we can serve God together in 2026. Basically, we want to be the church. We want to just be the church as God intended it. We want to invite others to be a part of this wonderful gift that God has given us, the church of Jesus Christ, that He is building. Friends, people long for a purpose. They long to belong and to be a part of a cause, a movement that is greater than themselves. On a purely secular level, this is why sports teams and social clubs and community theater and civic chorales all thrive and provide meaning for so many people. They want connection. We all want it. How much more so the church? With our target on the wall of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, with the overflow of love and joy and peace and righteousness to friends and neighbors that transforms lives. So as I close out this completely different message this morning, I want to read from a book that a friend gave me for Christmas. I already finished it. If you want to get on my good side, just buy me a book, you know, and two or three people have already done that. Friends for Life. And this book was very conversational, engaging, so that's why I read it in a day. Most books Billy gave me one from a Puritan from the 1600s. It takes me about 20 hours to read one chapter. And it's in modern English. They updated the language. But it's great. It's engaging. It's powerful. So I'm halfway through. Friends for Life. So I want to read a section here from a book called How to Remember by Andrew Osenga. He's a singer, songwriter, author, lives in Nashville, Tennessee, and he writes a chapter titled Coloring on the Wall. The idea of peace being just, it's just family, children everywhere, all of that. And so it's about a page and a half. I'll try to read it in an engaging style so that you don't fall asleep. But he says this, "We are a people desperate for belonging, especially in an age of complete disconnection. We're starved for authenticity. When our country is so franchised to death, you can find the bathroom in a Target in a new city with your eyes closed, places that feel human are becoming increasingly rare. Not only do we need places that look and feel like people live there, we need to live there. We need to be involved. We need to refill the toilet paper and know where the folding chairs go and build a cross. We need to bring our smoker for the potluck and teach finger knitting to the tweens. I don't even know what finger knitting is. Maybe someone should teach me. We need to walk in and see our own stories on the hallways. It's our gifts together that make this place what it is. We need to feel ownership. If something is out of place, I know that I can put it back because I go here and I know where it belongs. I can clean up a mess and take out the trash. There was a season where our family didn't have a church home. We visited here for a few weeks, there for a few weeks. We saw friends at each place, and that was fun. And then we'd get in the car and review the service like it was a movie. Oh, I like the music, but the sermon was too long. We were consumers. When we live somewhere, it's different. We invest ourselves, our time, our thoughts, our energy into that place and that community. We're not just trying to try some other place next week. If you want to belong, go in and ask how you can help. Look around and see what might need to be done. If it's your place and you want people to stay, invite them in and offer them something to do. If somebody wants to try something that might seem a little messy or a little unprofessional, well, keep an eye on it, but maybe let them give it a shot. And if they end up coloring on a wall, well, my kids did that too, and they felt safe right at home." Yeah, that's a good word. Allowing peace, joy, love to overflow. Well, I have a confession to make. I've not always displayed righteousness, peace, and joy in my life. And neither of you. I can be an anxious person. Sometimes I wear that angry face I mentioned earlier. I don't think I'm angry. But my face sometimes doesn't reflect the peace and joy that I have in my life. As an ontological reality, how's that for a theological term? As a true thing, we have peace with Christ. And so if you're happy, if you're joyful, let your face show it. So I want to be different. I want to be completely different. I want to be more peaceful, joyful. I want to become more like Christ. I want to finish well. Target on the wall. Little Jesus. So as we wrap up 2025, our lives may not be completely different than last year, but we can make some changes. And if you're like me, you sometimes get discouraged at how little progress we seem to have made in our journey to Christ. But God is faithful. As we turn the page and start a new chapter here at Village Church, can these Christmas virtues become village virtues? Faith, hope, love, righteousness, peace, and joy, and so many more, the fruit of the Spirit. all through the power of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus, to the glory of God our Father. Let's pray. God, we lay our lives before you as a church and as individuals and families, as children. For together you have redeemed us. Individually you have saved us. So you work in each of our lives, but you also work in us as a whole. Help us each seek you in the coming year and to be mindful of our church family and fellowship so that we can also grow and enter this new chapter and be a witness, to be a light, to be your people in this neighborhood especially, with an impact around the world. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.